This episode of the One Board Family Podcast is brought to you by Murder on the Cosmic Express. Looking for a social deduction game but don't have a lot of time? This one only takes 5 minutes. Check it out on Amazon or at your favorite local game store today.
Welcome to the One Board Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Gutowski, and joining me today is a man who was fined $500 for yelling, "It's a spicy meatball," in a crowded theater. Bob Kroll, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, right? Is that a Dom DeLuise, like, dig? Like, is that, you're calling me Dom DeLuise?
I'm not, but if you want to take that, that's fine. All right. I think that would be a thing, like you stand up in the middle of a crowded theater and you, "It's a spicy meatball!" And then somebody's like, "Nope, that's like yelling fire. Nope, that's not okay." Gotta find this dude.
Oh, man. Now I kind of want get meatballs.
Dragged out of the... I know. I always want meatballs. I know, that's right? The problem. Yeah. Stupid, delicious balls of meat. Golly, so good. Anyway... How are you doing, Bob? You have just come back from PAX Unplugged, which is actually going to be our topic of the show. How are you doing, man?
I'm exhausted. Very exhausted.
Would you say you're gamed out?
No, I don't want to say that, just in case.
I don't want to ever admit that.
Yeah, I'm not going to ever admit that. Just in case somebody's like, "Do you want to play a game?" And I'm like, "Why would you ask that?" Like, well, one time,
yes.
I heard you say that you didn't want to play a game because you had played too many games. I'm like, that's not a thing. Like, that's in real life.
Yeah,
that's fake.
Yeah.
But I am tired.
I think I've only been gamed out probably once where I was like, man, I played a lot of games. I think I'm good just to, like, not think about anything.
Was it at Origins?
So, I think Origins, I just hit a brick wall of, was it this year or the year before? No, I think it was the year before. I sat on one of the benches outside of the exhibitor hall. I sat on the bench and I just, like, stared at a trash can for a long time. Yeah, it was a good sit. Mm. But I think I hit that wall. It wasn't necessarily the gaming. I think it was the amount of people interacting, not sleeping, gaming, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. But yeah, I'm not, I'm just tired. I'm just exhausted. I haven't recovered from that, just, that go, go, go mentality and of attending a convention. And I'm not sure if I'm getting a little bit of con crud or not. I just feel just the tiniest, slightest bit under the weather. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, you know what is a good medicine for being under the weather?
Yeah.
Talking about what we've been playing.
Okay, so actually, I've been playing a lot of Point Salad.
Sounds healthy.
It would be if you could eat it, but you can't eat the. I mean, I guess you could eat the cards, but it'd be weird.
Very fibery.
Yeah. So that game designed by that conglomerate group, Molly Johnson, Robert Melvin, and Sean Stankovich, put out by AEG. It is a super, super easy to learn, easy to teach, yet still strategic card drafting game about vegetables. You have three decks of cards on the table, and you're going to roll out from those deck of cards a tableau of six face-up vegetables. You can only do two things on your turn. You can either draft two vegetables from anywhere on the table, or you can take a set of scoring a scoring card from one of the three decks. The scoring cards are the same as the vegetable cards. It's just on the back side. So when the vegetables are face down, piled in each one of the cards, before you turn them over to show that they're vegetables, they're scoring cards. So it's a really cool, interesting mechanic. You're like, do I take vegetables to pile in my own personal vegetable tableau off the board? Or do I take a scoring card off of one of the top of the decks? Because at the end of the game, I notice that I have 15 tomatoes in my tableau, and the top scoring card says, you're going to get 3 points for every tomato in your tableau that you've drafted. So it's that really nice, interesting, mitigating the vegetable drafting versus the cards for score drafting, and just running every single one of your scoring cards against your tableau of final drafted vegetables and trying to get the most score out of all of those vegetables combined.
Yeah.
Super quick game. Plays in about probably 20 minutes, honestly.
Yeah, 20 sounds
About 20 minutes. So it's great because I am a big fan of fast, easy, yet strategic card games because I love to play during the week at lunchtime. Yep. And Point Salad is a great game to get on the table at lunchtime.
It really is. The Delps, actually, from Tantrum House showed us how to play this, I think, at CMON Expo.
Oh, nice.
And they showed us how to play this because it wasn't out yet. It was coming out in the summer, but they had a copy of it with them. And it's just really cool. I think the first time that I started playing it, I was like, oh, this is light and silly. And then as you go, you start to realize that you can't just take onions and you can't just take cabbage. You know, you're eventually going to get into a situation where you're going to have to take negative points, but it's how you offset those negative points.
Exactly. It's mitigating those negative points by drafting other scoring cards that might offset the negative points you're taking from certain vegetables. And if you concentrate on one vegetable, eventually people are going to notice that. And the best thing to do in a game like that with an open draft is try to stay under the radar as much as possible. Because if someone notices you and they're like, oh, man, Bob, he's taking like all of the onions. Yeah, you can't let him have that card. You have to take that scoring card from him before he takes it because that's too many points. So people will hate draft, even in a vegetable game.
Yes. I love that they took a term that gamers use, point salad.
It's very clever.
You know, and turned it into an actual game.
Yeah.
And you're just getting a bowl full of points every single time.
It's very clever.
I mean, yeah, it's really well done, and AEG did a great job with this one. It barely missed my Christmas, my holiday buyer's guide this year.
Yeah.
I actually was about to put it on there, but I actually trimmed down my stocking stuffer list down to 5. I had 7 or 8 on there at first, and then I trimmed it down to 5. But Point Salad is definitely a great family game, something you should definitely check out. I'm going to talk about Dragon Realm for a minute. Have you ever played Dragonwood, Bob?
Yes. I have played Dragonwood once. My brother has the game. I actually don't have the game, but I have seen it and I played it.
I've never played Dragonwood, but I see it all over the place, especially when you go into Barnes & Noble. It's usually on an end cap. Game Right has made a follow-up to Dragonwood called Dragon Realm. And Dragon Realm, from everything I've read online and people who have played both, they say Dragon Realm's just a little deeper, just a little kind of just a little level up from Dragonwood. Dragonwood is a great family game, and Dragon Realm is too. Essentially, you've got these different areas that come out, these large size cards come out onto the table, and each one has a point value for the person who controls that area when it fills up. So an area may have 3 spots where warriors can be placed, and then once those 3 spots fill up, the person who controls the most of those warriors of their color, they get 6 points, and then the second place person gets 2 points. So the game is really cool because you're trying to control those different areas, and your hand of cards, it will remind you of just a regular deck of cards. You've got, I believe the numbers 2 through 12, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. But you've got these numbered cards of different suits. You've got green, red, purple, yellow, blue, and you've got all these different colors. There's like three different ways that you can basically go into and storm, sneak, or I'm forgetting the third one, go into these different areas to control it with your warrior. The way you do it is you turn in the cards and you pick up the number of dice that you turned in the number of cards. So if I turn in 4 cards, I'm getting a 4 dice. And these aren't regular D6 dice with numbers 1 through 6. They're actually numbered, I believe, 1 through 4. So it's a little, you have to look at the odds and be like, if I need a 13, that actually happened to me the other day. I needed a 13 and I was like, I'll just go in there with 4 dice. And somebody was looking at me, they were like, that is really dumb. I was
that's not gonna,
that is really, it's not gonna happen.
You need more dice than that.
I really did. And so I end up waiting one more turn and then getting another card that I needed. So you can either draft, they call it resting. You rest, pick up 2 cards, and then on a future turn, you can go ahead and turn in those cards for the dice, roll to see if you actually attack that place successfully. It's a really good game. Like, it's teaching probability and odds, and, you know, I would say that while it is a family weight game, it's still a fun one that I think I'm actually going to bring it around work because it plays in about 30 minutes. So I think I'm going to play it at work during lunchtime, you know, during the holiday season as people are taking breaks from work and stuff like that. So we might be playing at lunch at some point. But yeah, Dragon Realm is a really cool one from Game Right. They did a great job with that one. And the meeples are really cool. You've got little goblin meeples. When a goblin card comes out, the goblins actually, you know, take one of the spots that you guys are competing for. And there's the opportunity for the goblins to make money off these spots and actually can win the game.
Nice.
So if you're really bad at it, the goblins can actually, this non-player character can actually take the game. So funny, we played a 3-player match the other night, and one of the guys lost to the goblins by 1 coin, and he was like, I got beaten by somebody that doesn't exist. I was like, yep.
All that's the how time. It
went. Yeah. So anyway, that's Dragon Realm. So definitely check that one out. So
awesome.
All right. Well, Bob, we have got a packed show full of PAX goodness, and I'm going to grill you on your experience at PAX Unplugged just this past weekend. So let's go ahead and get into a break, and we'll be back on the other side. All right, Bob, this weekend I spent the majority of my time updating my Facebook feed to see how jealous I was of you being at PAX Unplugged, which is Penny Arcade's tabletop and board game expo that did it start just last year?
No, it's, I think this is, PAX Unplugged is in its third year.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So you got a chance to go to PAX Unplugged in Philly, and tell us about the time getting up there and what you saw when you walked in.
So, I mean, how early do you want me to start? Like, my flight was good.
the trip on the bus was good to get to the flight.
I will say this, it was cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was cold. Yeah, I think one of the nights...
You've been in Georgia long enough that you don't realize how cold it is everywhere else.
Oh, yes. And I took shorts with me.
Oh, no.
So I had jeans, too. But I had full intentions on being, like, just wearing shorts inside the con and being like, you know, just relax and chill. No, there's no way.
Really?
Absolutely no way, yeah. Thankfully, I took jeans with me as well.
That's good.
But I didn't take a jacket.
Oh,
it's all right.
That's not.
It's all right. I bought this sweet PAX hoodie, PAX Unplugged hoodie.
Okay,
it's awesome looking, and it worked out great. So, but yeah, it was cool, man. It was a lot bigger than I anticipated. Obviously, this is our first year going. And it was a lot bigger than I anticipated, which is a good thing. There was a lot of room and a lot of people there for me to thrive on that networking element of this part of the industry, of this side of the industry. So I love being able to talk to people and hang out with people and just talk about what they're doing, what I'm doing. Maybe we can collaborate. And there was a lot of talk of that going on at this convention. It seemed to be the thing that everybody was, a lot of people were talking about. There was a lot of talk about collaboration. So that was really cool to hear. Yeah. But saw a lot of people, saw a lot of games. Didn't actually play that many games. This was...
Do you feel, I think Origins, one of the things I like about Origins is there's enough space and enough time to sit down and play quite a few games. I think that, you know, some conventions are more like seeing what's new and stuff like that, and some conventions are more play games and experience time at the table. Where do you feel like this, if you had to break it down, like what you saw from other people and what you experienced, what would be the percentage breakdown? Say for me, like I would say Origins is like probably 60% playing games, just because I get time to play new stuff, but they have tons of demo tables, open gaming spaces. I mean, I feel like I get to play games.
So the thing I like about, I mean, there's many things I like about Origins, but one of the things I enjoyed about Origins was the fact that there was media time. So if we wanted, and we worked things out with the distributors and the publishers and the designers, we could go in before everybody else, the general public could. And if we wanted a little bit of quiet time, we could get some video on the floor in a good environment with a nice scenery and all that stuff. PAX didn't have that. So it was a little bit frustrating. They didn't, not that I'm asking for special treatment, but they didn't provide anything, extra time or anything like that. So the media badge was sort of the same as a regular convention attendee badge. I did have access to a nice media room that was up on an upper level. There were some lockers up there that allowed us to drop some gear in. There were a couple tables set up if you wanted to run podcasts up there or film video quietly in an environment. But I wasn't allowed to get prepped on with the distributors early before everybody got in. And I don't know. I just kind of appreciated what Origins did with media a little bit.
And honestly,
go ahead.
Honestly, that's new for Origins. Our first time at Origins last year in 2018, they didn't have that extra hour, extra 30 minutes before the exhibitor hall opened. That is a newer thing. And I think that enough people expressed that it was helpful. So I think you're going to see more conventions doing that.
Okay. So last year was my first.
That was definitely helpful for us.
Last year was my first Origins.
Yeah. 2019 was your first Origins. So you got to experience it with that extra buffer room where we got to sit down and talk with. That was tremendous because we were able to get in there. You guys were able to sit down with designers and publishers and talk to them before it got super crowded and before all the noise, So it's definitely something that I hope more conventions adopt, and I hope it doesn't add more frustration to the publishers, though, you know, because they also need their downtime.
Right.
You know, that's something that, you know, I have heard that it's like if the publishers are always on, you know, then they don't get the little bit of rest in between that they kind of need.
Well, right, but they also can schedule, not to take anything away from them, but they can schedule their appointments where they have breaks in between as well. I actually had a lot of publishers tell me, hey, you want to come by in the morning during the media time early? We can just get this out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and I appreciated that. But at PAX, they didn't have anything like that. So kind of when the doors opened, it was like, get in there. Get to the where I need to go really quick, you know? Yeah. But, you know, it was all right. A lot of networking, like I said. Met with a lot of people. Had dinner with some really cool folks. But I didn't really get to do a lot of after-hour gaming. Obviously, I after-hour gamed every single night. But it wasn't as much as... It felt longer at Origins. Like,
okay.
It could have been, too, because I this was a solo convention for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
So I was doing all of the trying to gathering and meeting by myself. So that could have been that. But it felt like I was go from 10 a.m. until 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. When the hall closed. And then after that was, okay, let's go back to the hotel. Let's take a break for a second. Drop some things, go and get some dinner. Oh, it's 7:30, 8 o'clock. Let's meet back up at the convention center in the Open Gaming. In Open Gaming, we would be in there for a couple hours until, I think it was like 11:30. They started rounding people up and closing it down. We would go up to the third floor of the convention center. It was a nice, quiet cafe up there. Mm-hmm. A lot of empty tables, and we would game for maybe another hour or two, something like that. So I only got about maybe like 3.5-4 hours of gaming, open gaming in per night. And it just seemed like at Origins I was gaming for like 6-7 hours during the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why that worked and it out may like have, that.
I think you're right on with the going in solo. I think that the team approach to Origins, you know, you had all of us jumping in there and helping out. So one person would take one appointment, somebody else would take another appointment. So it didn't feel like you were running around so much. Speaking of games that you did see, I did want to ask, you know, obviously there were some things that Restoration Games had Return to Dark Tower there for the very first time in working condition. You know, there were other publishers who made launched different things and talked about projects that they had. What was one or two of the games that you saw, whether it's a newer game or whether it's something that's already been on the market, but you were very impressed when you saw it at PAX Unplugged?
So one of the things that I was super excited about seeing, excuse me, was I talked to Jacob Way and with Deepwater. And he showed me Welcome to Las Vegas. And
oh man, I love Welcome to so much.
I know, dude. And wait until you have you seen anything with Las Vegas yet? Or
I saw pictures, but I don't know anything other than seeing two pictures.
Yeah, so it's Welcome to like elevated. So. There, it's like Welcome to on another level. There's some like betting and gambling involved. There's a limousine that's on the paper on the grid map.
Yeah,
that you can drive around the map.
Interesting.
Yes. There's like I don't want to say there's so much going on in a bad way. I want to say there's so much going on in a good way. It's a gamer's game. It's gone to like another level. So they were like, okay, here's Welcome to. We need something more, even meatier than Welcome to.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went two ways. So they went that way with Welcome to Las Vegas. And then they went and said, okay, everybody loves Welcome to. Let's do something that gives you the feel of Welcome to, but in a more compact, quicker way with the same feel. So they have two releases coming up. So they have Welcome to Las Vegas, which goes heavier than Welcome to, and then they have Floor Plan, which is a little less heavier than the original Welcome To, with that same nice roll and write feel, where instead of outside the house, you're inside the house on floor plan.
Did you get any sense of the release date for Floor Plan, since I paid for that earlier this year?
Yes.
And it was supposed to be released.
Yes. I believe it's within the next couple months.
Okay, cool. Yes. Because I already paid for that.
Nice.
I bought it when it was announced back earlier this year.
Patience, Ryan.
I know. I actually looked around for like any word on that. I was like, man, I haven't heard anything about that. Yeah. And I already paid my money.
Yeah, yeah. It's coming.
Okay, it's coming. Cool.
So you'll have like three flavors of Welcome To eventually.
Yeah.
because I'm not going to get Welcome To Las Vegas. Like, it looks...
Oh, that's a must-own.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Good.
Yeah, very so cool. that was one of the games I was really excited about, and I'm glad I got to meet with Jacob and to talk about that.
That's really cool. Yeah. So, talking about some heavier games, you know, something heavier than Welcome To, what are some of the bigger, heavier games that you got a chance to see while you were at PAX Unplugged?
So I actually got to run a full playthrough of Flotilla.
Yes, that's what I wanted you to talk about.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I want to play Flotilla.
Okay, so that I played that with my real good buddy, Isaac Villa from Gaming with Sidekicks. And
Isaac?
Yep, Isaac, Gaming with Sidekicks. And there was a lot going on in that game.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There, it's really good, though. I need to play it again.
Did it make your brain hurt?
A little bit. But it was because also it was like at 10 o'clock at night and I was exhausted, but Isaac had really been wanting to get that on the table with me. So I was like, all right, man, let's do this. Sit down. Let's see this thing. And I will tell you that the theme is super unique.
Yeah.
So I've not really played any other game that has that theme, where you have, like, you're in the ocean and you're bringing out tiles out of a bag and you're creating this tableau of tile laying on the board that has, like, resources on them, and you're buying ships to go out onto the ocean. And then you're diving, using dice to dive and collect the resources onto the ships and then go and drop them off at the dock location to dump the resources out. And then you can sell the resources. But everything you're doing is with a deck of cards. So, like, you get a deck of cards and actually up into your hand. And there's starter cards. And each on your turn, you play a card that allows you to perform some kind of function or action that has to do with what you need to get done in the game. That's so really cool. There's also what do you call them? Why can't I think of the word right now, Ryan? Like in Crusaders, the Moncala you drop around in a circle. What's the word?
I haven't played Crusaders.
Oh, you've never played Crusaders.
No, no.
The wheel.
Rondel.
A rondel. Why did I just not be able to think of that?
I do not know.
You're going to cut all of this out,
no,
right?
No, I'm not. Did you hear the last podcast? I didn't cut out the part where my dog walked in jingling, and then I had to stop the podcast and escort my dog out of the room.
So nice.
This podcast is unclassy.
Yeah, okay, rondel. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you knew what the word was. But yes, a rondel. So there's a rondel up at the top of the game, or a separate board that has a deck of cards for the specific type of actions or functions that you want to do, mm-hmm. and you're doing actions in the game to help move a marker around a rondelle, each one of the four types, and there's a certain point on that rondelle where you cross, where you're going to actually be able to draft a new card, a more powerful card from that deck to go in to your current playing deck that will help you perform actions more efficiently and reward you greater. So you get more and more powerful cards out of that deck. So it's a really interesting thing. And the most interesting thing to me is that any point during the game, you can decide to flip your board mm-hmm. and go to the sky.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that's why I say it's super, super thematic. And what happens is, you flip your board, and then you're in the sky, and the cards that you were once playing with now flip over to a different, the other side, mm-hmm. and then you have to play those same cards you were playing in the ocean in the sky. And it becomes more about an economic game at that point in time, because you are buying resources to put your tiles out. Before, you were diving for resources. Now you've gone to the clouds and you're buying resources to put your tiles, because your flotilla or your ocean mm-hmm. all comes up off the board.
Interesting.
So if you've laid 15 ocean tiles to explore, when you go to the sky, you sell your boats, you get some victory points, you get some money, and then you collect all the tiles on the board and they go up into your hand. And now it's a pile of tiles that you need to build again using resources. So if
it sounds at like any point a in time, really unique game. Like I love the artwork on the front of the box.
Very unique.
And like what I've seen of it. I feel like this is one of those games that I really want. But it's also one of those games that would be tough to get to the table. Would you say it's like 2 hours plus?
About learning it, probably two and a half,
okay.
three.
Okay.
Playing with everyone who has it down, probably 90 plus easy.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flotilla looks really cool. So.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool. I need to play it again when I'm more awake, because I'm going to admit this on the podcast, but Isaac just railroaded us.
He was like, let me show you this game I know.
So. He's like, yeah, let me show you this game. I've played it 17 times.
That's good.
And then proceeded to just steamroll us. But no, it was fun. I'm really glad that he taught me that game. I really appreciated
that.
That's
one that I definitely want to try out. So, so one of the best parts about going to a convention is coming home with a bunch of new board games. Can you tell us some of the games that you're excited about that are now in your sweet grubby hands?
Yeah, so one of the ones I'm really excited about is a new drafting game from Lucky Duck.
Yes.
And it's a Wonderful World.
Yep.
So, really excited. It plays a lot, like, I've heard, like, a la Seven Wonder-ish.
Okay.
So, where you're, like, drafting things to get resources, and it's more modern, though.
Yeah.
So, I've never played it. I was talking to Vince, and we actually sat down to play Jetpack Joyride.
Yep.
Because Isaac and a buddy of mine that I met this weekend, Jazz, who was actually with Isaac, first time we met, we sat down to play. Actually, you know what? It wasn't. It was Dalton, another guy I met. Sorry.
Okay.
So Dalton and Isaac, we sat down and played Jetpack Joyride, and they really enjoyed it. And then Vince turned to me and he's like, hey, have we sent you this? And I was like, no, the last thing that I think we got from you is Paranormal Detectives.
Yep.
And he's like, I got something for you. And he runs over and he grabs a bunch of stuff. And one of the things he grabbed was It's Wonderful World.
Yeah.
And I was super excited
Man, I'm excited about checking that out. Definitely. Lucky Duck.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every time Lucky Duck comes out with something new, I'm just like, man, that is so good. Like, they're just they're just hitting on all cylinders.
Oh, yeah. They're doing awesome things over there. Seriously.
Very cool. And you have a new Downforce map that is mine that I do. I was so excited about hearing that the new Downforce map would be at, I think it's called Wild Ride.
It is called Wild Ride.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Checking out some more Downforce. I'm thinking that we're going to have a Downforce tournament now that we have six different tracks. I feel like we almost have
right?
leaderboard and do something fun with that here at the house coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, like, that's getting to, like, Formula D level.
Yeah, yeah, and it's good. We taught some more family members this past Thanksgiving how to play Downforce and had a great time. It was really good, so very cool. Well, Bob, there's definitely going to be more coverage of PAX Unplugged on oneboardfamily.com. And while you're over there, you can even check out a new feature where Bob, myself, Aaron, and Rick all take a look at our most influential game of this decade. We took a look back over the past 10 years and made a decision on a game that impacted us pretty deeply. And so you can check out what our choices are. Go over to oneboardfamily.com and you can check that out. And that just about does it. You can follow us online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at One Board Family. That'll do it. Bob, I hope you have a good night, man. And I hope we get to play some games this weekend.
You know we will, brother.
Excellent. Until next time, we will see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.